The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So today I want to dig into the natural man versus the spiritual man, keys to understanding the deep things of God. Again, keys to understanding the deep things of God. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. Again, this is an equipping message, not a prophetic message. There's a difference. And again, at the end of this, we have an announcement to make as well. So again, thank you guys on podcast and YouTube for joining us as well as Facebook Live. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to start at verse 2 through 5. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And I didn't pull all these scriptures up, guys, because it would take forever to do that. So if you have a Bible, please follow along with me, or you can just listen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, listen to this, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. That's important when we get into this teaching today. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice that the Apostle Paul says that his preaching came not with mere words of persuasive words of human wisdom, but with demonstration of the Spirit. So there is so Paul tells you here that there is words of human wisdom. This comes from philosophers. This comes from professors. When we send our kids off to school in colleges and universities, they sit in classrooms and they are taught from highly educated professors and different individuals who are teaching them from a realm of human wisdom, the intellect, the knowledge. But Paul said that when he began to expound and preach the gospel, it did not come by mere persuasive words of human wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So what is he talking about? Well, let's read on here. He says, however, we speak, we as in the apostles, we as in we that are born again, we are of the Spirit, we that are the sons and daughters of God, we who are redeemed, regenerated. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. Now, again, when we think of wisdom, we think of intellectual knowledge and understanding. But I'm going to show you that Paul is not merely speaking of that today. He says we among the mature. Notice there's a distinction between the immature and the mature. In other words, I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. Even as believers, we have to be careful of what kind of revelation that we share with individuals and who they are. For example, there's over 100 people watching this live right now, and not everybody's on the same level. There's some people that are babes in Christ. There's others that are more seasoned in Christ. And then there's the mature Christ, the mature in Christ, those that have walked with God. Their senses are seasoned, and Paul talks about that. They're able to discern what is good and what is evil. They know how to rightfully divide the word. They know how to dig into doctrine and scripture and theology. And they're not blown by every wind of doctrine because they're rooted and grounded in the word. So there is some things that we can teach. And you can have a group of individuals. Let's just use a church, for example. You've got 120 people in a church. A teacher or preacher, whatnot, gets up and he begins to expound on the word. There is a small percentage based on the maturity of that congregation. Let's just say 75% are mature, 25% are not. Only even a fraction of that, I'd say, probably 50%, maybe 75% is really going to glean from that word, while the others are they're probably going to be sitting and scratching their head. Have you ever been in a service before where a man of God or a woman of God begins to expound on the Word of God, and you've got there's a whole row of people with you, and you've got 12 people in a row. Six of them has no clue what they're talking about. The other six are shouting and hollering and screaming and celebrating and in jubilation because they received a revelation knowledge of the Word. This is what I'm talking about today. Watch this. Now listen to what he says. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Listen to this, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if the Roman centurions, if Pontius Pilate, and the list goes on, the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, if they had known the deep mysteries of God, if they would have understood these things, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. And Satan would have not allowed God or Jesus to be crucified, because by Jesus' crucifixion, come on, came redemption for all of mankind. So it's twofold. Satan did not fully understand the full plan of God. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, it was the blood of Jesus was the secret weapon that was hidden from before the foundations of the world. And if Satan had known that it was going to be his own blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ being shed on Calvary to free all of mankind, he would have never allowed him to be crucified. Come on, somebody. Listen to this. So what does it mean that God speaks in a mystery? Hidden wisdom? What in the world is he talking about? Well, listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 33 through 35. Again, Matthew 13, 33 through 35. All through the scriptures, in the New Testament Gospels, you'll see where Jesus spoke in parables. The Bible says, and then he spoke into parables. And then again, he spoke into parables. And he spoke parables unto them, saying this and saying that. Listen to this in Matthew 13. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, quote, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things, listen to this, kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, I did a whole message on this before. Here's the difference. Anytime when Jesus spoke the word of God, there was always a distinction between us and them. The word was being spoken in parables so that the us was the disciples, the us that was spiritually inclined. It was the ones who were seeking after God, the hunger. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Those that were searching for God, seeking for God with all of their heart. When Jesus spoke these parables, they were understanding what he was saying. They were discerning. And even the disciples at times had to pull Jesus aside in private and say, can you explain a little bit more or expound on what you meant? And he never rebuked them. Instead, he pulled them aside and he would expound deeper on the mysteries or these parables or these hidden enigmas. But why did he do this? Again, he did this to fulfill the scripture that says that the Lord would open his mouth in parables and utter things that would be secret from the foundation of the world. And you can read on, and it says that God did this purposely to make a distinction between those, and I call those of us versus them. The them was the individuals that did not have a covenant with God. They were not seeking after God. They had no desire for God. This would be what we call the unregenerated, the ones who are not born again. the veil is still over their eyes, over their minds, and over their hearts. So to them, it sounds like a bunch of jargon. It sounds like a bunch of nonsense. What is he talking about? What is he saying? What is this guy babbling about? Look, even you get on forums today, you get on blogs today, you get on all these things and you begin to read the comments and you'll see all these atheists and agnostics and unbelievers. And they all, many of them will say that the Bible is full of errors and it's full of things written by men and it's a bunch of fables and it's a bunch of fairy tales. Why? Because the veil is still on their eyes, it's still on their hearts, and it's still on their minds. Therefore, to them, it is hidden. Come on. But to us, it's the mysteries of God. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Listen to this next verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Did you hear that? Eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, and has not even entered into our heart what God has already prepared for us who love him. But listen to this. But we're given a sneak preview. We're given a sneak preview. According to 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, but God has revealed them. What is them? The eyes not seen, ears not heard, not entering into the heart. He's revealed these things to us through his Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So when you're born again and you get saved, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. He begins to reveal to you the mysteries of God, the secrets of God, unraveling the enigmas of God. He begins to, oh, come on, somebody. I want to read some more things here to you if you're willing to receive it. Listen to this. This is verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? By the way, there's, I want to say this. We hear from, there's three levels of hearing. There's, you hear, there's the spirit of man, the spirit of God, and the spirit of Satan. I want to say that again, just to make this simple, and don't get caught up on semantics of words because I can break it down in soul, mind, or soul and spirit and flesh and all this stuff, and we don't want to get into that. But this is the basic premise of what I'm trying to tell you. There is three. Let's just say it like this. There's three voices that are contending for your future. It's the spirit of man, or we'll say flesh, and then the spirit of God, and then the spirit of Satan or the demonic. So you have to, if you don't know the word, you won't know. Where are these voices come from? You ever heard somebody say, I keep hearing, it's like something is on the inside of me is telling me this or telling me that. Well, you got to discern between the world, when I say the world, that could be the world. World could be defined as the world, the flesh, and the spirit of man. They're all in unison. So is it the world or my flesh speaking to me? Or is it the spirit of God speaking to me? Or is it the enemy speaking to me? Come on. You can read that. The Bible talks about all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So again, you can take that verse alone. I believe that's over there in 1 John. You can rightfully divide that word and take that alone and begin to recognize where a lot of the stuff is that we're caught up in. Are we coveting after our neighbor? Are we lusting after other things? Do we have indulgences? Do we have fleshly lust and bondages and addictions? Okay. Is that from the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. So then we have to distinguish, is it my flesh or is it the devil? And I want to say something here that's going to be a little controversial. And you've heard me say this before, anybody that's listened to our ministry for a long time. Most of the time, it's you and not the devil. Listen, I've always said, I believe the devil is far too busy worrying about far greater levels of adversity than some guy over here that he's only influencing five people in his neighborhood. He never talks about Jesus. Nobody knows he's saved because he's an undercover Christian, because he never talks about the Lord. He never does that. So there's no sphere of influence whatsoever. But yet he's always talking about the devil's on my back. The devil gave me a flat tire today. The devil caused me to be late for work today. The devil gave me a stomach ache today. When you break it down, it was never the devil to begin with. It was because he never goes to bed on time, never sets his alarm. He wasn't paying attention and ran over a nail, come on somebody, and because he stayed up too late eating pizza, and that's why his stomach's hurting. But yet people in the body of Christ are always blaming the devil, come on, for their own fleshly shortfalls. I'm not saying that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood or principalities or powers or spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I'm not saying that. I'm not undermining it. I absolutely believe in real spiritual warfare, but I'm just trying to tell you the majority of the warfare that you and I go through are not demonic forces, but carnal impulses on the inside of us. So there's three voices contending for our attention every single day. Listen to this. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Everybody has this. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Did you see that distinction? Spirit of man, spirit of God. No one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now, we, that's us, if you're born again, have received not the spirit of the world, here we go, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know things that have been freely given to us by God. Come on, somebody. How do you expect, listen, some of y'all are so frustrated because you've been trying to explain to your mama and your daddy and your aunt and your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. You've been trying to explain to them about God when they don't even have the spirit of God. They have the spirit of man on them. They're full of the world. And you're trying to give them the deep things of God. Are you kidding me? And then you wonder why they get mad at you. You wonder why they ignore you. You wonder why they don't call you. You wonder why they don't want to sit around you. You wonder why they think you're a nut. I'm going to prove it to you. Listen, John 14, 25 through 26. Jesus speaking, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, in Greek is the parakletos, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I want to give you another revelation here. The Spirit of God is never going to contradict the Word of God. Man, if you don't write nothing down today, you better write that down right there. The Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. What do I mean by, why am I telling you that? Because, listen, if you want to know if a man or woman is of God, one of the main ways that you can distinguish whether a man or woman of God is from God and they're preaching of the Spirit of God is what they're saying coming out of their mouth. Does it line up with the Word or does it line up with the world? Oh, I could preach right here. See, we got a lot of preachers on Christian television today, and they're popular on Christian television. They got number one best-selling books out there, and what they're preaching out of their mouth doesn't line up with the Word of God, but what it lines up with is the wisdom of the world. And the book of James talks about this kind of wisdom, and it says it's earthly wisdom and it's sensual and demonic. Oh man, if I was in a church right now, I'd be saying it's getting quiet in here. I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to help you to distinguish between these competing voices that are always trying to get your attention. The voice of the world, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the enemy. The natural man. But see, we're not even, we're really kind of homing in on trying to get you to understand how to dig into or delve into the deeper things of God. Listen to this. I want to say this again out of John 14, 26. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Listen, I've had people ask me, they said, Brother Ricky, how do you remember so many scriptures? How do you know so much of the word? I said, it's the Holy Spirit. He said in his word in John 14 that he would bring to remembrance the words of Jesus, the word of God. Now, if you sit around all day, I heard a preacher once say that he used an illustration and he said, if you go and you draw water out of a well and you draw a bucket up, he said, whatever is in the well is going to come up in the bucket. So if there's nothing in the well, you don't expect nothing to come up out of the bucket. What I'm trying to say is if you sit around all day and fill yourself up with the world and you try to draw out of that, you know what you're going to draw? You're going to draw the world. But if you sit around filling yourself up with the word, come on, somebody, and you draw that bucket, you're going to draw the word up. You're going to draw the living water, which if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again, and you'll not be left empty. John 16, I'm almost done here, guys. John 16, 13, listen to this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice this, the Holy Spirit will never draw you into error. He will lead you and draw you into truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. The Holy Spirit does not speak of his own authority. He speaks of what he is commanded by God. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. I hate to break it to you, but the Holy Spirit did not die in the fourth century. As some preachers try to tell you that he no longer operates today in the believer's life. He no longer brings healing. He no longer brings miracles. He no longer uses gifts. He no longer operates through us to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. That's what they teach you. It's called sensationalism. They teach that the Holy Spirit or the quote unquote acts of the apostles or the gifts of the apostles was done away with in the fourth century. But again, I've said this over and over again. Nowhere in the Bible is it called the gifts of the apostles. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not dead. He's not done away with. He's not dissipated. He didn't retire. He's not, come on, he didn't get furloughed. He's not put away somewhere. He's still in operation in the church today and in the world. And if he's still here, then the gifts are still here and the operation of the gifts are still here. And that means miracles are here, healings are here, deliverance is here. Come on, somebody. And the baptism's still here. And that means he's going to show you things to come. Dreams, visions. Come on. Revelation knowledge, the deep things of God. But again, I want to peel. I've got about four more scriptures here, and I'm going to peel a little bit more. Can we peel a little bit more layers off this onion before we get to the end? Watch this. And John 3:1-3, there was a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. This guy was, he was the ruler of the Jews. I mean, he was the head honcho here. This man came to Jesus by night in stealth, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Listen what this Pharisee is saying. We know you are a teacher come from God. Isn't it interesting that he had to say that in private, but he would never say it in public? See, there's a lot of religious folks out there. They may get on Facebook and they may get on YouTube and they'll get on social media and they'll try to bash and trash, come on, any movement of the Spirit and the operation of the Holy Ghost and revivals and awakenings and anything God does, they'll try to trash it and bash it and condemn it. But yet many times you'll discover that if you can get them alone and get the, and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to open their heart, they'll begin to confess to you that they believe that God is still moving and operating in the church, but they'll never say in public because they have something that's called a reputation to uphold, and they would never destroy their reputation, because after all, they might lose their position in the church. They might lose their position in a power or influence that they have. And this is exactly why Nicodemus came in stealth of the night, and he said, "We know you're a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And listen to what Jesus said. And he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That word "see" is a Greek word, and it means to perceive. Listen, I want to give you a deeper understanding of this. No one, unless you're born again, no man can perceive or see with the eyes, senses, notice, discern, or discover the kingdom of God. Again, this is why even among Christians, I really truly believe there's right now the Spirit of God is separating the wheat from the tares and the sheep from the goats. I don't understand how it's even an issue when it comes to voting. If you open the Bible and you vote according to the Bible, there shouldn't even be an issue. There shouldn't be combating. There shouldn't be quarreling. There shouldn't be division. If you voted just based on the Word of God alone, the problem is you've got a lot of quote-unquote Christians that I truly believe either A, they're not truly born again at all. They profess to know God, but with their works, they're abominable. That's the Word of God, by the way. Or B, they're on a level of immaturity that their senses are not even exercised to discern what is good and evil. Or in other words, they're not even in the Word. In the book of John, I believe it's John 15, he says, "Unless you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will not bear much fruit." Come on, I know this is a little bit hard preaching here, but I'm trying to tell you, listen, this is why people don't understand. They don't understand. How in the world could you give to the church? Why are you giving that church money? I'm not giving the church money. Yes, the church is a conduit, but I'm actually sowing into the kingdom of God. If it's a true, a strong, active church in your community, they're going to feed the widow, help the orphans, send out missionaries. Come on, raise up sons and daughters from within. I'm all about sowing seed into that and giving to those ministries. And people say, "Why would you give your money?" Because again, you're not giving unto them, you're giving unto God. And the Bible says, when you give, it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you give, God will make sure that it's given back unto you. But again, you're speaking to men with natural minds that don't understand, they don't perceive, they don't get what we're saying here today, because they still have a veil on their eyes and on their minds and on their hearts. Because they're trying to reason these things with the spirit of man, with their worldly spirit. They're trying to reason. They're trying to understand. They're trying to intellectually figure out God. I ministered last weekend. I got to pray for an individual, and it was a powerful time to pray for him one-on-one. And the Spirit of the Lord showed me, gave me a word for him. And I said, "Brother so-and-so, I discern by the Spirit of God that you're trying to intellectually figure out God with your mind." I said, "But you'll never figure him out. It's a walk of faith. Those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If you're going to try to figure out God with your mind, good luck with that, because it will never be accomplished. Listen to this. You want scripture for it? I'll give you scripture for it. 2 Corinthians 4. "But even if our gospel is hid or veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, lost, unsaved, unregenerated, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, Who's the god of this age? Satan, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. These things we also speak, listen to this, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Again, quit trying to win people with intellectual comments and arguments, trying to reach people's intellect. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, God never intended for us to try to reach people intellectually. I don't, because when I read the Gospels, Paul said, I came not by persuasive words of man's wisdom, but by the demonstration of the power and the Holy Ghost. Come on, when the doctor says you've got cancer all through your body, and then you lay hands on them in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith, and then the next time all of a sudden they say it's like a fire comes over their body. They can't explain it. They feel different. They go back to the doctor. They get a full checkup and say they can't find a trace of tumors in the body. You are not going to intellectually try to reason that out. You're not going to be able to describe that. You're not going to be able to explain that. You're talking to experts in medicine and physicians and doctors, and it will profound even those that are the most wise among us. But God did this on purpose. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said he specializes in confounding the wisdom of this world with the foolishness of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen, he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man, somebody say the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody today. But he was, let me read on here. I'm going to go down to Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That word enmity means it's hostile. It's hostile. The natural mind is hostile against God. Oh, when someone gets up and says you can lay hands on the sick and they can recover, your natural mind is going to begin to combat with your spirit man. It's going to say that don't make sense. That's impossible. Well, listen, that's exactly what God warned us was going to happen. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. And you ask, well, how are we supposed to combat this, Brother Ricky? What are we supposed to do? I'll leave you with the answer, and it's in Romans chapter 12. And it says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Come on, if you got to give yourself to him, number one. Number two, he says this is a holy and acceptable to God. Number three, he says this is a reasonable service. And number four, listen to this, do not be conformed to this world. Again, if you keep filling yourself up with the world, you're going to draw from the world. That's all you're going to have to offer yourself, your family, and those who are seeking, come on, the living water. You're giving him earthly water, polluted water, diluted water, water that's going to leave them thirsty, water that's going to leave them in want, water that's going to leave them dirty and filthy. But he says, listen to this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Guys, listen, here's the difference between you and me. Ready? There's not. We're all the same. We all have a mind. We all have an intellect. And we all, the Bible commands all of us daily to transform our mind. And we transform it by the renewing of the washing of the Word of God, by communion with him. And I'm going to say something that's controversial, and Jude said it, so I'm going to say it. He says, and I build up my most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's communing with God one-on-one. So when you're doing these things, you're lifting up in praise, lifting him up in worship, communing with God. It's a hard word to get out, it's a tongue twister, and you're getting into the word, renewing your mind. Friends, eventually you'll empty yourself out of the world and you'll begin to fill yourself up with the Spirit of God. Come on. So I believe there's two groups of people watching this today. One group, there may be, maybe somebody stumbled on. It's very rare that this happens, but somebody might stumble on this and you've never been born again, never been filled with the Spirit of God. And maybe you're watching this and you want to know how to be born again. We want to minister to you. Number two, there may be someone watching this and you want the deeper things of God. Well, friends, guess what? God's waiting on you. The Bible says, if you'll go and seek for him and search for him with all of your heart, Jeremiah 29:12, he says, I will be found. Jeremiah, come on, 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Come on, I'm going to pray for these two groups of people today. Father, I pray for this first group of individuals. If there happen to be any individual that maybe has stumbled upon this broadcast, maybe they were invited to this, maybe they found the link, whatever the case would be, and they're not born again. You're watching this and you've never given your heart to the Lord. I want to invite you right now to repent of your sins. It means to turn from your ways, turn from your agenda, and trust and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Ask him to wash you and save you and redeem you by his blood. And if you confess that and you believe that in your heart and ask him to come in your heart, and if you believe that, according to the book of Romans, you will be saved. So we want to give you that opportunity right now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, if there be anybody that's watching this today and they're not saved, you said that no man can come to the Father lest they be drawn by the Spirit. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would penetrate that camera and you would penetrate their hearts. Draw them in today, Holy Father, and lead them to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, if there's anybody listening to this today and you say, that's me, brother, I want the deeper things of God. I want to hear from God. I want him to speak to me things to come. I want to be able to recite scripture. I want to be able to quote scripture. And you say, enough is enough. I'm tired of filling myself up with the world. I want to fill myself up with Jesus. I want my oil to be overflowing, my lamp to be filled, and my wick trimmed, and be ready for the bridegroom when he's about to return. If that's you today, I pray for you today. Holy Spirit, fill them where they're at right now. Fill them to the top, submerge them, baptize. Though even the word baptize, guys, actually means to submerge. It's submersion, submerge. It's taking a cup, filling it up, and actually submerging the entire cup where it's completely surpassed with water. God, surpass them, baptize them afresh with your oil, with your spirit, with your fire. In Jesus' name, God, a newfound revelatory knowledge and wisdom, the deeper things of God. And I thank you today, Father, that you're moving in this broadcast, moving in this podcast, moving upon their lives, and they'll never be the same again. Lord, deposit in them a hunger for the deeper things of God, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Guys, listen, real quick, I want to give you some announcements. I told you that we would have a couple announcements, and I want to give those to you. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's going to be our main website for our End Time Headlines information page. Now, here's what I want to show you. You guys listen on podcasts, you guys on YouTube, you guys on Facebook. Our older partners know this. All of our newer ones, they have no clue what I'm talking about. Look at this right here on your screen. It's called Remnant Revival Ministries. If you're on Facebook, go like this page, follow this page. Our ministry is expanding. This has been going on for about 2 years. We have two branches of our ministry. One is the information arm, which is End Time Headlines. That's the news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. But if you enjoyed what you heard today, this is exhortation, equipping, teaching, preaching. If you enjoy this, that is going to be found depending on the content of it, it's going to, we're going to put down Remnant Revival Ministries right there. That's where that's going to go. I'm in the process of creating a YouTube channel that's distinctly going to be for these teaching, equipping, exhorting, and preaching messages. It's all going to be, there's going to be no prophecy on Remnant Revival Ministries. It's all going to be in terms of, again, teaching, equipping. Now, I say no prophecy, but if it's dealing with the bride and awakening the bride from her slumber, that's really the mission statement of not only Remnant Revival, but of ETH, then that's going to be on her. But the point is, ETH information arm, that's where you're going to see your viewpoint segments that you guys, a lot of you guys love those. You go there and you get the updates, what's going on in Israel, these earthquakes over here, or there's a disaster over here, these wildfires over here, something going on. That's going to be our prophetic viewpoints. That's going to be on our ETH page. But it's, again, teaching, equipping, exhortation, preaching messages. You're going to find that on Remnant Revival Ministries. Now, we have a website. It's in the process of being updated. It's remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. When you pull it up, you're going to see a look. It's an older look. It's all being updated. And I'm excited about this because we're going to get a separate YouTube channel. So you can go look and find Remnant. It's probably not going to be public yet because I'm still working on it. But Remnant Revival Ministries is going to be the YouTube channel if you want to bookmark that. And we'll announce it when it's going to be up and ready to go. Now, again, get our app, guys, ETH app, the official app. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Android. It is free. Please download that when you get a chance. If you're watching my Facebook Live, it's up in the description. There's going to be the links. You can click on it, whether you're Apple or whether you're Android. Click on that. Get your free app. If you'd like to support this ministry, by the way, we're going to make this simple, too. There for a while, we did two separate ways to give. You could give to ETH or get Remnant Revival, and it got everybody confused. So we're going to keep it all and make it real easy. If you're blessed by the information arm or the revelation arm of this ministry, whether it be ETH, Remnant Revival, whatever the case may be, we want to give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry as the Lord puts it upon your heart. If you'd like to give a one-time gift or partner with us, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. That's going to be our main, mailing address. Again, of course, you can give electronically by going to our website or going to the app as well. So we're excited, guys. We are moving forward with what God has entrusted us to do with this ministry, continue to expanding, continue to enlarge our territory. We will be back on here. I'm going to try to be back on here tomorrow. I'm working on a message right now out of Matthew 25 that I'm putting together. It's going to be more of a teaching message like this. And we probably have some prophetic viewpoints as well as some updates coming up as well. Also in Georgia, if you're in Monroe, Georgia, if you're over here somewhere in my region, if you have youth, which I have to check on the ages, but I believe it's, I want to say the ages are 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. We are having a youth service at our church at New Song Church. It's in Monroe, Georgia. You can look it up, Pastor Cameron King. But he has asked me, and I'm very honored to do this, he's asked me to speak to the youth on this Friday night, youth night, and I've got a powerful message that I'm going to be delivering to the youth there. So again, if you're anywhere in driving distance, you'd like to come out, bring your child to the service, we welcome you to bring them out. I believe they'll be blessed by the service. And we've had some powerful revival services over the last 5 to 6 days. And we're just coming out of that as well. So it's been a wonderful, powerful time of ministry as well. So we love you guys. God bless you again. We'll see you soon.